This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman.
Right. Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we're really excited. We get to move on to the biggest party of the summer. We are going to be starting SummerSlam 1988. There's been some great SummerSlam matches in the past. Yeah, the biggest one I can think of is Icon versus Icon when Shawn Michaels took on Hulk Hogan. This is also the event where we originally got the very first ever TLC match with the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys. What do you think of when you think of the SummerSlam?
I think that it's one of the biggest events of the summer. Great shows. I can't think of any major matches that I like from it. It's my least favorite of these four, but it's still a great show.
Yeah, it's kind of like the summer version of WrestleMania. There's no real big major stipulation like Royal Rumble. You get a Royal Rumble match every year. Survivor Series, you get usually the 4-on-4. They've sometimes done 5-on-5 match Survivor Series matches. And SummerSlam's just kind of like, well, you got WrestleMania, which is the Super Bowl, and then you got SummerSlam, which is maybe the where they go to Hawaii.
The Pro Bowl?
The Pro Bowl.
I would not even come close to comparing SummerSlam to the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl, half the people don't watch. Nobody even tries. It's way bigger than the Pro Bowl.
Fair enough. Maybe
this is the college football playoffs.
Or the national championship.
The national championship, yeah. Which is just a slight step down from the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a lot bigger than the Pro Bowl. Half the people in the world don't care. They've considered getting rid of the Pro Bowl because half the people in the world don't care about it.
Fair enough.
That is an unfair comparison.
It was a bad comparison. I was trying to stick with NFL.
I know I'm saying that SummerSlam's my least favorite, but that's like saying that's my least favorite child. It's still great. comparably through all these pay-per-views that we're watching, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and Survivor Series, all four of these are great. I'm just saying, if I have to put them in order, SummerSlam's my least favorite, but that doesn't mean it's a bad show.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad show. It was a bad comparison. I was just trying to stick with the NFL, I suppose. I don't know. It was just kind of like trying to compare, well, there's the Super Bowl, and then what's next, and maybe playoffs.
Or World Series, if we
still... Well, I was trying to stick with the NFL, is what I was trying to do, and Pro Bowl was the next big event where they all get together, I guess. It was a bad idea.
I apologize. Terrible comparison.
Apologize for the comparison. But today we get to move on to the very first SummerSlam. August 29th, 1988, the Mega Powers are going to take on the Mega Bucks. So we still have that continued rivalry with Hulk Hogan and the Million Dollar Man and Andre the Giant. And we're going to add Randy Savage to that whole mix. So this should be a fun one. I'm not 100% sure what other matches we have in store for us because, to be honest, I don't think I've ever watched this SummerSlam. I mean, SummerSlam's one of them. SummerSlam's one of them shows that I watched when I, you know, watching wrestling on a regular basis. I would watch SummerSlam just because I was the type that, well, and you know, we ordered the Big Four, and we would always sometimes get together to watch the Big Four, with WrestleMania always throwing a huge party and a big get-together for WrestleMania, but we would always order the Big Four. We might not ever order the in-between pay-per-views, but we would always get the Big Four, unless there was a major deal match going on at one of the other pay-per-views. I remember when ECW One Night Stand hit, got together with my buddies. We were like, we have to watch this one. And they tore the house down for that. That first ECW One Night Stand was really special. The second one was really good too. But that first one just seemed to be really special. So that was kind of our watching of pay-per-views. It wasn't like today where you literally, as long as you got the WWE Network, you can watch every pay-per-view, which is mind-boggling to me. When they decided to do that, it was just a huge deal.
Yeah, I currently watch every one that comes out. Got the WWE.
Why wouldn't you?
And now I review them, so I definitely watch them now, so.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you if you get to see every pay-per-view? That is like, growing up as a wrestling fan, that was the dream come true. But until a certain year, I mean, I've probably seen every SummerSlam up to a certain year. But these early SummerSlams, I don't think I've ever watched.
Yeah, you didn't buy a box set on these.
Yeah, no, I bought the WrestleMania box set. I don't know if they ever came out with a collection.
Oh, I'm sure they
did. Of SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. I'd have to look into that. But I remember for Christmas one year getting the WrestleMania box set. So I've kind of revisited those. So it's really going to be fun to go back and revisit some of these shows that I've never even seen before. Maybe probably heard of a match here and there. You know, I'm looking forward to, I know SummerSlam is where we get Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. I'm sure that's going to be an amazing match. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. That's going to be a great match. So there's been some iconic matches that I'm aware of. It's just going to be fun to actually get to sit and watch these matches. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump into it. Okay, so the first thing I noticed about SummerSlam is it started off really quick. They had like a short little, I don't want to call them pictures, but they were kind of moving pictures.
Yeah, there was an intro video that was,
it wasn't kinda, really a video. It was,
they showed like a recording of different wrestlers showing up and then posing. And then, the weird one was Miss Elizabeth just looking around scared for some reason. So it was a video package. It was an intro video package.
But after this little package, which didn't last very long, they literally jumped right into the match, you know, kind of WrestleMania. We get a lot of stuff going on before we start the show. This one, they just dove right into it.
With that video package, I kind of felt like they're starting to really hit their stride, and this is feeling bigger. It's like they already realized that SummerSlam is going to be a big deal, where with WrestleMania, it didn't feel like that through the entire show.
Yeah. So, first match we get is a tag team match. The British Bulldogs with Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid versus the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, Jacques and Raymond Rougeau. So, this was a pretty good match. It was back and forth. Not one team had the upper hand for the whole match. The Rougeaus was doing more submission moves and kind of wearing down the knees and stuff like that, where the British Bulldogs was more high octane and strength and stuff like that. But it really was a pretty well done match, I thought. The only thing weird about it was that this is the very first match in SummerSlam history, and it ends in a draw because the time limit was reached. This match lasted 20 minutes, and they couldn't finish the match. So they're definitely building up a feud between these two teams. But it was just kind of weird that it just kind of ended, you know?
Yeah, we didn't really get... We didn't get a story of what brought these two. It wasn't a tag team title match or anything.
We didn't get promos before the match. We didn't get any kind of backstory, but you can definitely tell in the match there felt to be a little bit of bad blood going on between these two teams.
I was not a fan. The match quality, everyone was decent in it and everything, but I feel like it went on way too long. I feel like time limit expired. It was a really weird ending maybe there was a storyline that we're not aware of that happened, but they didn't tell us anything about the story going up to this match. We didn't get that package, which they have done in the past, so we know that they have done that kind of thing with these pay-per-views. The ending was weird. That would make more sense if it was like a heel and they don't win the tag team titles because the time expired. Like, it's a weird end, a long match. I felt like it dragged a little too much. I don't know. It wasn't like the match itself was bad, like we had bad competitors or anything. I feel like the story they told made very little sense.
And it just lacked a completion, a finish, any kind of conclusion.
It lacked a finish. It lacked any kind of, exciting spot. Can you think of anything that happened in this match?
Biggest thing I noticed is Davey Boy had one of the Rougeau brothers up, and it almost looked like he accidentally dropped him onto the ropes. Maybe that was the goal. It almost felt like he dropped him.
In my opinion, the most interesting thing was literally the end. The way I thought it was going to end was would have been kind of cool. The British Bulldogs, I believe Davey Boy Smith picked up,
and Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid, and then threw him on one of the Rougeau brothers.
It almost looked like a flying headbutt.
Yeah, it was a flying headbutt, but his partner actually tossed him on there. So it looked like that was how it was going to end, but the ref just rings the bell and it's time expired, and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, it was very odd. So, we don't really see time limit draws happen very often in today's wrestling. I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen it.
We've seen it.
Well, we saw it in the tournament.
And that made
a little bit more sense. It's a tournament.
It's a tournament, and it took both of them out. And I think if we look back at that, that was because they only have so much time for WrestleMania, and
they probably only have so much time for SummerSlam.
Yeah, but you know what?
It was just odd. It was an odd decision to make the match.
My point for the time limit that I was trying to point out is making that one a draw where you take out both competitors means you have one less match to do. Oh,
for the tournament. I gotcha.
You drop the matches with a story. So that one was fine for me. That one made sense. This one made no sense. I didn't understand the point of the end. And then we have the Ragu brothers cheap-shotting the Bulldogs, and they're running away like little bitches. I mean, that's how we end it.
Fair enough. It was definitely an odd. I mean, like I said, I think it was a well-worked match, just no conclusion.
It reinforces my thought process of that the Rougeau brothers are just not that interesting. There's a reason I think nobody remembers them in history.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move on from this match and see what the next match has in store for us. Okay, so before the start of the next match, we get a video package. Apparently, the outlaw Ron Bass attacked Brutus the Barber Beefcake on WWF Superstars, and they even show a little X with it says censored because Brutus is getting bloodied. But it was kind of funny because I mean, it's only an X covering the screen, so if Brutus's head moved one way or the other, you still see the blood.
There's a little bit of trickling somewhere
So, I mean, you still see the blood. But during this video package, one of the things I wanted to point out is we got our first glimpse of the Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty came out to get Ron Bass out of there, and I believe I saw Coco Beware came out, but they had that sensor thing on, so it was kind of hard to tell who all you saw, but in between the little X, you know, you could kind of see a certain wrestlers, but they said that Brutus the Barber Beefcake was supposed to meet the Honky Tonk Man, for the Intercontinental Championship, and unfortunately, he was not able to compete based off of doctor's orders because of this attack from the outlaw Ron Bass. So I'm not 100% sure the storyline there, why Ron Bass attacked him, what was going on there. But they informed us of that before our next match. In our next match, we get Bad News Brown versus Ken Patera. Just a singles match. Didn't notice any kind of storyline. Matter of fact, we kind of pointed out that they didn't even tell us Ken Patera's name.
No. He got entrance music, though.
Yeah, he had entrance music, but he kind of, like, ran into the ring, and then the match kind of started almost immediately. And this match was kind of riddled with a lot of botches and mistakes, and I think this is...
I think the word you're looking for, Rage, is terrible. This match was terrible.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of bright spots in this match. We kind of pointed out during this match while watching it that there was a bear hug that went on. And a bear hug is kind of a move that I don't think we really see in modern wrestling today.
And for good reason.
Yeah, it's kind of a dull move. But to be honest, it was kind of weird seeing a regular-sized guy versus a regular-sized guy doing a bear hug. Like, we saw Andre the Giant do a bear hug to Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 3, and I think it looked... They sold it really well. But you also have a giant doing it to a smaller wrestler. Not that I'm saying Hulk Hogan's small, but it just kind of looked brutal, and Hogan really kind of sold the pain of this bear hug. This was not the case in this match. It just looked like two guys were giving each other a hug.
Yeah, Bad News Brown just seemed sleepy.
Yeah, and then we also got an Irish whip that prompted boos from the crowd.
Oh, because Bad News Brown missed just, the corner. He got Irish whipped into the ring, the ropes. Instead of the corner. Yeah, it was...
Yeah, and he didn't really run to it either. It was almost like a speed walk to the ropes. He didn't even go to the corner. And
a nice immediately, brisk
walk. Immediately the crowd booed this Irish whip move because it just went off so poorly.
There really should have been more boos.
Yeah, they did it again. They did another Irish whip, and then that one kind of... set up the end of the match, which it looked a lot better. And that was, Patera Irish whipped Bad News Brown into the corner. Patera then ran after him, almost like charging him into the corner. And he hit his shoulder on the, thing. And then we get this amazing finishing move by Bad News Brown.
The Ghetto Blaster.
Which was, yes, the Ghetto Blaster, which is basically a drop kick to the back of the head.
Not even that. It was just like he doesn't like drop kick him with his like the bottom of his
feet.
Yeah,
it's like a kick. It was like kick
he just
kind of
like it looked weird.
It was a very awkward move, a finishing move, and we were both kind of alarmed when we saw that the move's called the Ghetto Blaster.
Yeah, they're just like, "Oh, Bad News Brown got the Ghetto Blaster."
And everybody's the announcers are kind of announcing it like this is normal. I'm like, "Whoa."
This was bad all the way around.
Yes.
With the Bad News Brown's finisher to insert generic Olympian guy here. I'm sorry, Ken Patera.
No, well, he not generic Olympian guy. I looked it up. He actually was in the Olympics in the strongman competition. So he must have been a weightlifter for in the Olympics and stuff. So I mean, essentially, this is
well, he's no Kurt Angle.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, Kurt Angle actually he wrestled in the Olympics, but it just kind of goes to show that Kurt Angle wasn't the first Olympian.
I guess technically to pro wrestling. The better comparison, if he was the strongman, not actually in wrestling in the Olympics, better comparison would be Mark Henry. Mark Henry was a strongman. I don't think he did it in the Olympics. I don't know
though.
If he did it in the Olympics. I think he was
just world's strongest man. I think it was a strongman competition.
Yeah.
But this guy, I looked it up, he actually was in the Olympics. I don't know how good he did. I don't think he was a
I hope he did
gold medalist
that
won
match.
The Olympics with a broken freaking neck. I guess they all can't be Kurt Angle. But I don't even remember Ken Patera. I don't remember him at all.
I don't want to remember.
I remember Bad News. I vaguely remember Bad News Brown. I remember him being around, but Ken Patera, I don't even know if I've ever heard of him, which is odd. So it'd just kind of be interesting to kind of look that up and see how long he lasted in the WWF, because I mean this is SummerSlam, one of their big fours. I don't even recognize the guy.
I wasn't happy with either one of these guys.
Yeah, so this was a pretty bad match, and it probably is leading the pack, and I would assume lead the pack the whole night for worst match of the
night.
Well,
we'll see.
So we'll see. So far,
step it up, because I was all bound and determined that first weird ending first match was going to be my worst match of the night. Then this one came in and was like, hold my beer. Let me do shittier than that one.
Well, in that first match, I don't know if it was a bad match. I think it just went on too long and it had a bad conclusion. This was legitimately the definition
of a bad match. This is the match that if I hated wrestling, this is why.
Yeah, you're not.
This is the match where I... It's like, hey, you want to know why I hate wrestling? Watch this.
you're not going to show this to a new time person that has never watched wrestling and sell them on the sport of wrestling.
Unless they really like to make fun of bad wrestling.
Yeah, this is definitely not a shining moment.
My sister would love it.
Okay, so next thing we get is a promo with the Mega Powers. Mean Gene Okerlund is interviewing Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. And this is just a very fun, energetic, just shows you why he was such a legend. You know, I've been posting things.
You mean Macho Man?
I'm referring to both, but I'm kind of wanting to talk about Hogan here because, you know, I've been posting things on some different wrestling sites with the history of wrestling and everything. And every time something comes up that I have to put Hogan in the history, it's a very split down the middle. People either love him or hate him. And I get it. In today's wrestling standards, Hogan doesn't do any of the kind of stuff that your modern wrestler does. But you watch these old WrestleManias, these old SummerSlams, and you see these promos he cut, and you see the fan reactions. He gets the biggest pop.
Oh no, everybody loved Hogan.
Any wrestler in history. And I think a lot of modern wrestling fans don't really acknowledge or respect that. But the man literally put wrestling on his back and turned it into what it is today. He is the reason a lot of us got into watching wrestling. He was such a polarizing figure. And it's promos like this that just show you, in a lackluster SummerSlam so far, we've had two matches that were just kind of ho-hum.
And one was bad.
And all of a sudden you get this promo from Hogan, and he just lightens up the whole... You know, he's given 110% on a show that just doesn't seem to be having that much steam. And it just shows how amazing of an entertainer he really was.
Well, I've had a lot of my criticisms of Hogan, obviously. Mind you, a lot of them have been more on Andre's side. And the thing with Hogan is, especially now, I can look at Hogan and I can see the positives and I can see the negatives. Positives, he is fantastic on the mic. He brings the energy. He brings the crowd. His posing, his ring work, when it comes to like pandering to the crowd in the match, after the match, before the match, you know, second to none. He was amazing at it. The problems with Hogan and he's not the greatest wrestler. He's not great in the ring with the actual moves. He doesn't have a lot of moves. He kind of does the same stuff, but he keeps it entertaining with his posing and he tells a story. And that's where Hogan really shines. And he was the biggest thing in wrestling back there. Now, even when I was a kid, Hogan was never my favorite. I don't know if I had as big of an issue with Hogan as I... Which, rewatching this, I am getting a little bit more appreciation for Hogan. I still have my same complaints, my same criticisms. But I'm also seeing the good. Where, before we started doing this podcast... His goods, I didn't really see as much. I don't remember them as much. I was a Warrior fan when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I liked Warrior. He was the one that was a lot of fun for me.
You know, and the funny thing is, and I think you'll remember this, you know, because as a kid, I think Warrior was fun. But wait till they hand a microphone to the Warrior.
We'll see.
And we'll see how much you appreciate him as a modern wrestling fan. Because a lot of those complaints you just mentioned, I think, is a modern wrestling fan mentality. And I think when wrestling was more a simpler entertainment than it is now, where it's a lot more complex, the people expect a lot more spectacular moves. Definitely weapons have become more and more involved. And high flying and stuff like that. I think a lot of guys like Hogan is just kind of a product of his era. And, you know,
that could be fair, but at the same time, rewatching this, I'm seeing people like Macho Man Randy Savage, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I'm seeing amazing wrestlers, Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase, I'm seeing some guys that they aren't as flashy, obviously, of what we have today. I mean, it keeps innovating. It keeps getting better. They keep doing amazing feats nowadays. But that's going to happen as something progresses. You're going to have stuff that wasn't done back then because it wasn't invented yet. It wasn't there.
Is it fair to say that Macho Man doesn't get the same criticism as Hogan because his in-ring ability? Because really,
his in-ring ability matches.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is you see the Mega Powers and you see them both talking and you see both of them as energetic as anybody in the business. And you actually see both of their faces just get red. Definitely Macho Man. Man looks like he has a sunburn every time he starts talking and his veins in his neck pop out while he's talking. And to be honest, I've never really noticed how similar they are energetic-wise on the mic and everything. But Macho Man was just head over heels better in the ring, I believe, than Hogan was. But both of them...
Obviously, he doesn't wrestle as much now, but...
Both of them are just amazing characters. So, it just kind of, you know, seeing them together as the Mega Powers, I think, was a perfect fit.
Now, when I was, like, really young, when I first started wrestling, I don't believe that I loved Warrior... And I don't believe that I really appreciated Macho Man back then either. Later on, I started appreciating Macho Man. But, like, the first time I started watching wrestling, I was really, really young. And it was in the 80s. I believe it was like 88, 89.
Yeah, it was around this ballpark area where I believe we were introduced to wrestling.
Our boomer listener kind of got us into wrestling when we were really, really young. I don't think I appreciated a lot of these. I don't think I appreciated Million Dollar Man until later on in life. Now, I liked Million Dollar Man. I've liked him throughout the years. But when I was real young, you know, I didn't recognize all this. But nowadays, I am appreciating him even more.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to the next match. We have Ravishing Rick Rude versus the JYD Junkyard Dog. Both men come out to music. Ravishing Rick Rude gets the microphone and starts talking. But I believe he called the people in the crowd inner city sweat hogs.
Yeah, fat and ugly.
Fat and ugly. And he comes out. This is great. He comes out wearing trunks, well, not trunks, they're, pants, with
tights.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He comes out wearing tights with a Junkyard Dog's face on him, on both backside and front side.
He had Junkyard Dog on his dick. Right there on his dick and his ass.
And I believe one of the commentators, maybe Gorilla Monsoon or Superstar Billy Graham, I can't remember which one said it, but one of them said, yeah, it's a good thing he's wearing those tights because JYD's going to be all over him on this match. And I'm like, that's like a beautiful comment for wearing these tights. It was kind of a perfect segue to get there. So then we get music for the JYD. He comes out and immediately, you know, you see the tights with the picture of him, immediately starts going after Rick Rude, and we get the on all four headbutts
right away
at the very beginning of the match. And this match started off high octane energy. They, you know, they really helped that whole, you know, like JYD's a little pissed off that, you know, he can see his face on his dick. So this was a fantastic match.
Yeah, we finally are stepping it up.
Oh, this was such a fun match. So we had a lot of good spots from both guys. You know, the beginning of the match, really JYD just handed it to Rick Rude until Rick Rude finally got the upper hand a little bit. But then this one went back and forth. And the topping on the cake of this match is Rick Rude. He is so savage. He pulls down the JYD tights to reveal Jake the Snake Roberts' wife on a second pair of tights.
On his dick.
On his dick. So he jumps off the top rope, does a simple kind of flying fist.
He does that. It's like a fist to the head.
Yeah, just a jump off the top rope, fist to the head while JYD was on the ground. But immediately after he's revealing these tights,
and
Jake the Snake Roberts
in the ring.
Jake the Snake Roberts runs down the ramp, or the, you know, the aisle way. I guess they don't have ramps quite yet. That's something kind of to point out. We haven't had a ramp like we get today.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Jake Snake comes out and starts beating up on Rick Rude until he flies out of the ring and hightails it out with Bobby the Brain Heenan, which we didn't even point out Bobby the Brain Heenan was in Rick Rude's corner. So I apologize about that. But so then you got a kind of a little stare down between JYD and Jake the Snake, where Jake the Snake was kind of trying to, oh, I apologize, because they announced the winner of the match is Ravishing Rick Rude due to disqualification.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
This was so great. I loved this.
This is great. I love Ravishing Rick Rude. He is, oh my gosh, he would be, today he'd be the ultimate internet troll.
Oh my gosh,
he's fantastic.
So before his time.
Oh my gosh.
If you really think about it, I mean, just the things that he's doing, he's just, I mean, this is kind of stuff that would happen in the Attitude Era, and maybe today's wrestling too, but this felt more like something that would happen around DX era, that kind of stuff.
Had his opponent.
Where he literally comes out wearing tights of his opponent, and then he has a second pair of tights with another man's wife's face on his tights. How great do you get?
It is so terribly amazing.
You will never be as cool or as savage as Ravishing Rick Rude wearing the tights of his, well, I would say opponent, but I guess it'd be...
I'm guessing it was a rival. I'm guessing they had a rivalry.
There must
the
have
time.
Been a rivalry, which kind of pointed us to, as much as this SummerSlam becomes the Big Four, isn't it kind of odd to see he's fighting JYD in this? I love the match. The match
is
great.
I'm sure there's a story to it that we don't know, but it still told a good story. It was still so much fun. And you know what? Rage, I don't understand. I feel like those tights were high praise. Why were they so mad? I don't get it. That was high praise. He thought your wife was so beautiful, he put them on his dick. Where's the problem here?
I'll tell you what. The only way this could have been more savage if it wasn't a picture of her face as opposed just the back of her head. I think that would have been the only thing that could have been more savage.
I don't know if WWF was at the point where they were willing to do that.
This wasn't even the Attitude Era. This,
that would have been a little too much, maybe.
They jumped in rating, so this was very family friendly.
There would have been a lot of complained mothers in that arena.
So I don't know if this SummerSlam can get better than this, because this was amazing.
This was great.
This was probably my favorite moment, I think, so far of doing this podcast. This was generally just, I loved it.
Oh my gosh.
So we're going to move on from this. But
I think we just need to say one thing, to quote Wayne's World, Ravishing Rick Rude.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! Oh, man, this guy is amazing.
A legend!
Okay, here we go. Okay, so we get a Honky Tonk Man promo with Mean Gene Okerlund, and this is, just kind of talking about, he doesn't even know who his opponent is tonight. That was kind of interesting to find out, due to Brutus the Barber Beefcake getting injured. So he doesn't even know who his opponent is, and in, typical heel fashion, he doesn't care, he'll beat anybody, he says. So then the next match we get is, first off we get the Bolsheviks, which is Nikolai Volkov and, Boris Zukov, And they are accompanied with Slick. And, of course, we get Nikolai Volkov doing the Russian national anthem. But in... I don't know. Did he ever finish this national anthem? Because the music plays for the next team, and they interrupt him. And I think that was kind of the shtick, was everybody would interrupt this national anthem. He would never get through this whole thing. I don't know if he ever did, to be honest. So music starts playing, and here comes the Powers of Pain, the Barbarian and the Warlord with the Baron in their corner. And these guys come out high octane. This is a fun match. I had fun in this match. There wasn't any major spots, but there was... It was just fast paced, and it was just a fun match to watch. I know the Barbarian had a really good power slam on Nikolai Volkov at one point that I thought was just looked brutal. But we have to just kind of discuss how similar these guys are to, at the time, the Road Warriors, which later on becomes Legion of Doom.
Oh no, they were. They were dollar store Legion of Doom. I mean, these guys, they are the one guy comes out and he's got a horseshoe haircut where he's bald on the top and the sides are there, and he's got black and red half and half color of his hair. And then you have, what was the manager's name?
Oh, the Baron.
The Baron comes out with his spirit Halloween costume. Yeah. I mean, this was, yeah, these were cheap ripoffs. They were made in China, and I mean, it was fine match, I guess. They were fine in the ring, but yeah, their look was pretty generic. And
you know, you call them dollar store ripoffs of the Road Warriors, and to be honest, they probably was. That's what the WWF was probably, because I believe at this time the Road Warriors would have been in WCW. So this is probably definitely their, you know, kind of answer to the popularity of the Road Warriors. But having said that, I thought it was a fun match, and they were really good. They were good at what they did.
It wasn't an offensive
They wasn't a bad carbon copy. I mean, you could tell that's what they were going for, but these guys were high octane. They were fun.
It was.
I didn't have a problem with them. How about that?
It was better than all the other matches, excluding the last one we just watched. Oh, yeah,
the Rick Rude match. That's going to be hard to top. That was such a fun match. It's so savage. But
this match looks really good in comparison to what we've seen.
Oh, yeah. So far, this SummerSlam is picking up. We've had two really good matches the last two, and then you know, the Powers of Pain get the win. They do a double team move, and then the Barbarian comes off the top rope with a flying headbutt, and they finish off the match. But they look just so good and dominant doing it. So, and they even mention at the end of the match, "Oh, we can't wait till this team meets Demolition." So, you know, they kind of point that out, that, you know, there's going to be a feud between. So I really, really hope we get to see that. Powers of Pain versus Demolition. I haven't looked ahead to the next show, but we got Survivor Series coming up. Then we've got Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. So hopefully we get a chance to see this. Hopefully it doesn't happen on WWF Superstars or whatever the shows at the time. I'd really think that would be a fun match to watch. I really do. So anyhow, I liked this match. It was a very good tag team match. Did kind of somewhat feel like a squash match, though, just because I don't know how much the Bolsheviks got in. It really felt like it was dominated by the Powers of Pain immediately from the get-go.
It
didn't
feel quite like a squash match, no. But it was definitely, it seemed like it was Vince trying to show that we can compete with the Legion of Doom.
Well, they were trying to show excitement to these guys. They were trying to
build them up.
Yeah, build momentum for this team. But yeah, it wasn't quite as, we've seen squash matches that's lasted only, you know, a couple minutes. This lasted longer.
Those are typically squash matches.
But this definitely was mostly one-sided. So it was a 5.5-minute match. But I had a lot of fun with it, even though it's, you go to the supermarket and you can either buy the name brand or you can buy the Walmart True Value, Great Value brand. This was the Great Value brand.
You can either have a Pepsi or a Faygo.
Don't be dissing Faygo. But no, this is what that felt like is, you know, you didn't want to pay the price for the top-notch brand, so you get the off-brand, but it did for the night. It was good enough for the night. You know what I mean?
Sorry for offending the Juggalos.
Juggalos. Faygo. Okay, so, all right, so let's see what we got ahead. So the next thing we get in this SummerSlam is a segment of Brother Love coming out. The ring's all red, and there's music playing in the background during this whole thing. He's out there kind of talking like he's at church or something.
He's a TV evangelist.
Yeah, is what he is. He's a TV evangelist. So anyhow, he comes out here and he says he has a special guest, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
No. Brother Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Fair enough. So Brother Duggan, or as Brother Love liked to call him, Brother Dugan, he comes out here and Brother Love starts talking, and Hacksaw's kind of, you can see the ADHD coming in Hacksaw, where he's not really paying attention, kind of pandering to the crowd, you know, holding the 2x4, pretending to use it as a shotgun, kind of sticking his tongue out, looking at people, and holding the thumbs up. Like, he's really, doesn't look like he's paying attention to what Brother Love's saying at all. So, anyhow, so this segment, I don't know, it just didn't really do much positive or negative for the show. It was just kind of an odd segment. And you know what really bothered me on the segment is even when Duggan started talking, there was music playing the whole time. And even after Duggan kind of got to his boiling point and threatened to hit Brother Love with the 2x4, and Brother Love hightailed it out, they didn't play Hacksaw's music or anything. They kept this, like, church background music going. It was just kind
it's
of
the type of music you'd hear with a TV evangelist.
I know, but it was just weird that they just kept that music going during the whole thing. Even after Duggan, you know, did what he did, you just had this music playing. It was just an odd segment.
Trying to take you to church.
So anyhow, so finally, you know, after that, hopefully we're about to get a match here. Okay, so the next match is you have the Honky Tonk Man coming out to the ring with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and he still doesn't know who his opponent is. So he's out there, you know, shaking, jiving, and rolling and all that stuff, and here comes the iconic music. I believe this is the first time in our podcast we have heard the Ultimate Warrior's music, and he comes running down the ring and jumps down off the ropes, and he immediately starts taking it to the Honky Tonk Man. And this match, let me get the official word, this match lasted all but 31 seconds. There was a clothesline, there was a flying shoulder, and there was a the Ultimate Warrior, the big splash. And 1, 2, 3, and new WWF Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior!
Yeah, this was, once again, we don't get to see Ultimate Warrior properly showcase his skills because he just came in and was done in 31 seconds. But it was fun. I mean, it's kind of an interesting story to tell when you have the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Yeah, so
his loss is a squash match.
So yeah, this is, it's like you just said, this is the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. The Honky Tonk Man held it for 454 days. So that's a little shy of a year and a half. The Honky Tonk Man held this title. And just within 31 seconds, the Ultimate Warrior, it was a squash match. But they treated it not like a squash match. They treated it like a caught off guard.
Yeah, they
high
treated
octane,
it
just
like
happened.
He didn't know
boom.
Who was his opponent was going to be. He wasn't expecting someone as energetic and good as the Ultimate Warrior to come down there and just...
Yeah, and this was supposed to be the Brutus the Beefcake match. So we don't know the backstory there. You know, we'd have to, you know, do some digging. We don't know why Brutus was removed from this match. Obviously, they show us on screen he was removed from the match just because of some injury that he sustained from the outlaw Ron Bass, but we don't know the real story why we don't know what happened there. Maybe if you know, let us know at the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page. You can also tell us at the Twitter page at Ricky Rayberg, or you can even tell us at the Instagram at the Rage and Blaze Show. Any of these formats, you could let us know if you know the real reason.
Yeah. Or you can tell us on Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, Instagram, and my YouTube. Well, don't tell me on my YouTube page. Just go to my YouTube page, Dragon Blazer Productions. Or you can tell me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro.
Yeah. So any of these formats, would be fine if you want to inform us of what happened there. Or, you know what, we can save everybody time and just Google it. So anyhow, so that is going to end it for our first half of SummerSlam. So far, I think this show got off on kind of a rocky start, but it's starting to pick up steam. So hopefully the rest of the show helps pick up the momentum. I do feel like we had a little bit of a downer moment. I didn't really care for that whole brother love segment. That was just kind of odd.
I feel like, really, other than the Rick Rude match, it's been a pretty, I mean, I know you like the tag team match.
Oh, the Powers of Pain was exciting. I don't care if they're a ripoff of the Road Warriors. I thought it was a fun match.
It was fine. It was fine. And this match here that we just talked about with the Ultimate Warrior, I mean, I liked the story it told, but it wasn't exactly a good match. It was just Ultimate Warrior dominating. I liked the story it told, but it's not like we can look at it and be like, man, that was a great match. It wasn't a great match.
No, it wasn't a great match. It was a fun moment. It wasn't a great match.
Yeah, so it's been kind of a lackluster SummerSlam so far, which is kind of disappointing.
I would like to point out the huge pop the Ultimate Warrior got when he ran down to the ring. The crowd was that was the loudest pop I've heard all night.
Well, around this time, he's one of the starting to get big.
I'm pretty positive, and I would have to research this. I believe that's his first Intercontinental Championship.
Well, I'm sure it is.
So
the last time we saw him, it wasn't.
He was kind of brand new.
Yeah.
So very, exciting moment there. Once again, hope the show gets a little bit better. I do think it's starting to pick up momentum. But so far, this is what we get with the first SummerSlam. I also like to point out that have you noticed that they're referring to this as SummerSlam 88? Not really just SummerSlam. This is the very first one. It's kind of weird that they've already numbered it the year. Even the logo says SummerSlam 88. And it's just kind of interesting being that it's the very first. You would think the very first would just be
SummerSlam.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. And in watching SummerSlam today, I don't recall them call the upcoming SummerSlam that's coming up soon here in, 2 weeks. I don't think it's called SummerSlam 20, hashtag the worst year ever in the history of the world. So it's not referred to that. So it's just very interesting to me that they, called it SummerSlam 88. So that'll probably do it for us, and we will see you in part two of our SummerSlam podcast. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
Not everybody.
And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.